Shalom Aleichem, Chavretz Binyamin Hammer at the National Council of Young Israel. Honored to have all the Rabbanim and Rebbe on this call for conference call number 102. Thank you, Rebbe.
You're very, very welcome. Question one. Can Birchas Eilanos be done before the month of Nisan in hotter climates where there will not be fruit on the trees in Nisan? This is a dispute. We look in the Mishnah Berurah and Siman Reish Chavav, Sifkot Nalef, and it seems that Nisan is Lav Dafka. Some disagree. Their fundamental argument is about the Chodesh of Iyar, if you missed it in Chodesh Nisan. But on a simple level, the same question would apply in Chodesh Adar, if in Nisan there are not going to be any fruit trees. Of course, if a person made the bracha in Chodesh Adar, he would not make another one in Chodesh Nisan if he found the fruit, because maybe he already fulfilled the mitzvah in Adar, or maybe even in Shvat, Hashkedia Parachat. That's also a possibility. Some say you shouldn't make the bracha at all. If you look in the Pisket Shuvas, he suggests the bracha should be made. He's referring, of course, to the Chodesh of Iyar, without Shemu Malchus. In other, it's more complex, because if he already made a bracha, even without Shemu Malchus, perhaps he would not be able to make it later on. So if he's 100% sure that no Ilonis in Chodesh Nisan, then I would say he should make the bracha without Shemu Malchus. If he's not sure, he should wait. And if you don't say it, you don't say it. Question two. Are there time limitations for Bir Chametz this year on Friday? How should it be done? So, Shulchan Aruch, Siman Tov Mem Dalet Siv Beis, it's quoted that the Bir Chametz should take place at the same time as it's done every year. The language of the Shulchan Aruch before Chatzos. The Mishnah Berurah amends it in Sivkot and Tes to be the beginning of the sixth hour. And I believe that even that's too late, because since we have the custom of doing a second bittul chametz in the day, which is not found in the Gemara, and bittul chametz cannot be done in the sixth hour, so we have to burn our chametz in the fifth hour with enough time to have a subsequent bittul chametz. So therefore, I think the proper time this year, like every year, is before the end of the fifth hour, and I saw in the Piskei Shuvas footnote 71, based on the Tzlach and the Chayodim, that is the way it should be done. So the same as it would be done in a typical Erev Pesach, before the end of the fifth hour, so too it should be done Bir Chametz this year on Friday, Erev Pesach as well. Question three. In normal years, I encourage my Mespalim to go away for Pesach in the U.S. to sell their Chametz in Mechira Rishona so they don't own their house and Chametz at the time of Bedika, and therefore don't have to do a Bedika before they leave. As there is no Mechira Rishona this year, what should I advise these Mespalim to do to avoid doing a Bedika on their house? So number one, they do own it, they just rent it out. Number two, the simple answer is to do a Mechira Rishona. That's what I do. I have a Mechira, we'll call Yud Beis, on Thursday before the sun sets, before we daven Mincha. We do a Mechira Rishona, and that solves the problem. Now, individuals who don't want to sign up for that, and they want to not do a Bedikas Chametz, so they have a right to do that. Not every posuk agrees that the Mechira has to precede the moment of the Chi of Bedika. Many posuk would disagree and say, if you're going to do a Mechira later on, you know you're going to do a Mechira later on. There's no Chi of Bedika anyway. The Mishnah Berurah and the Tav Lamed Vav recommends that we do the Mechira before the Chazos Chiv of Bedika. So I'd recommend that the rabbi do a Mechira Rishona. Those who will avail themselves will, those who won't. Now, I know that in some years, you do a Mechira Rishona for another reason, for individuals who are further east, such as those who are in Eretz Yisrael. That may not apply this year. There's a lockdown. But the additional reason of thereby avoiding a Chiv Bedika Chametz still pertains, and I think it's worthwhile doing an additional Mechira earlier. If someone doesn't want to do a Mechira Rishona because it doesn't pay just for a few people who are going away as opposed to a whole group going to Eretz Yisrael, you can call me up and I'm happy to do it. Last year we did a Bedika for many, many people because of the Corona lockdown. This year there's no lockdown. We still haven't figured out how we're going to manage it, but if we can be of help in that respect, we'll try. Question four. Regarding Erev Pesach on Shabbos, A1, What's my opinion on using egg matzah and how much is needed to bench? That's a very good question. We assume, halacha l'maisa, that egg matzah is permitted to be used on Erev Pesach. Not everyone agrees. Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik was opposed to the present egg matzah which are made with apple juice. Because according to the Rambam Shita, it's not called matzah ashira, unless you use yayin chalav shem and drash. And therefore, egg matzah is as good to fulfill the mitzvah Pesach night with egg matzah. So therefore, it's also an Erev Pesach. The Vilna Gaon seems to say, if you look in the Shaar HaTzion, in Sitkot Nalef, that he, any matzah product, even if you could not fulfill the mitzvah, should not be consumed on Erev Pesach. And that's a chiddush. These are both, we'll call them chumris, because these shitas are not necessarily the accepted shitas, neither the Rambam shita nor the Vilna Gaon shita, but nonetheless, it is, they are quoted. The Rambam is, of course, the Rambam, and there are those who feel that that the Vilna Gaon shita should be followed if it's possible, and therefore it's not so simple that we use matzah shira. But I think the prevailing stock is called the Rov Poskim, that matzah shira it may be consumed on Erev Pesach. And a year like this, as well as any other year, so that'll be okay. If you look on the Shaar HaTzion in Siman Tuf Mem Dalet of Cotton Aleph, he quotes the Bi'ur HaGra, quotes according to the Rambam, Matzah Shira, even Matzah Mevushelet, which is certainly not Yotze, should not be used on Erev Pesach. The Tosfos is Mekel in the Tzadi Tesim Sochim, because they want to know what is it exactly that the Mishnah asks Samach L'Mincha. And the answer is, it can't be matzah, it can't be chametz, it can't be mine tagima, because mine tagima is mutter. So it must be matzah shira. But the Rambam holds that mine tagima is only mutter a little bit. A lot is not allowed. So that's what's referred to mine tagima. Matzah shira could be also the whole day long. But these are, again, minority points of view. I think the accepted psak is that matzah shira is mutter on Erev Pesach. This was quoted la'alocha in the Shulchan Aruch and Tuf Mem Dalet. Sefaf and egg matzah qualifies according to the psak of everybody except for the Rambam, which is also the majority view. So the question that becomes, may you use it? The answer is yes, even though there are dissenting opinions. How much is needed to bench depends on the following. All the standard svarim assume that egg matzah has a status of pasavo b'kisnin. And then they run into the whole issue of how much you have to eat, which is a serious question. Most poskim hold that despite the fact that it's only called pasav b'kisnin, if it's used as the focal point of a meal, then we know it's kovei suda on it, so you have to wash and you have to bench, even though it is pasav b'kisnin. And according to most poskim, again, Mogen Avraham and others, you don't only count for the kriya suda, the egg matzah itself, you would count for everything else goes with it. And assuming that in a typical meal, certainly Friday night, which is a very large meal, but even if you divide your morning meal in half, which we'll get to, still the assumption is that each of those two meals has a significant amount of food with it. So it's safe to wash and bench again with the egg matzah. Rav Moshe seems to hold that the fact that you're satisfying a halachic requirement of Suda's Shabbat Yontif in and of itself creates the status of Kriya Suda. There are those who say that Shabbat Kovash, even if you have a snack, a cookie, you have a couple of cookies on Shabbat afternoon, you have to wash and bench. We don't paskin that way. But there are Moshe that we do paskin that the Shabbat meal as a mandatory meal is koveya. Shalosh Shudas is a little bit flaky because some people don't wash for Shalosh Shudas, even a regular Shabbos, so it's not as clear. But for those who do, presumably it's also clear. And if you have a large Suda, even if you had it on Tuesday, you have to wash and bench. This is what the poskim assume. Not everyone agrees, but the Kaf HaChaim seems to argue with Rav Moshe, But okay. My personal view, which I'm an outlier here, no one agrees with me, is that egg matzah should be hamotzi. I think egg matzah is like mezonos rolls. I saw in the brachos books, they concede that mezonos rolls are really hamotzi because they're meant to be eaten as part of a meal, not part of a snack. But they presumably hold that egg matzahs, in point of fact, are used as snacks. Now, the truth is, I don't eat egg matzahs at all. I can't remember the last time I had an egg matzah. But the little I understood, an egg matzah was not like a cookie or a cracker. You take a big egg matzah out, and you use it the same way as you use a regular matzah. You have it with a tuna fish sandwich, or you butter it with some salt on it, or whatever uses are used for matzah, used for egg matzahs. If I'm correct in point of fact, then egg matzah would be hamotzi even one crumb, the same as a regular matzah. But again, I don't know the facts well enough. The books all say it's pas kistin. I'm not so sure. I thought it might be pas. If it's pas, it solves our problems on Erev Pesach more readily. Okay, that's A1. A2. A1 relies, especially this year when it's Chas Shabbos on the Noda Behuda, that allows one to eat matzah Hashira to Chatzot Erev Pesach. The answer is probably not. The Mishnah Berurah passes in Tuf Ayin Aleph Sif Klatin Chaf Aleph that the Sofs Man Achil of Chametz is the last time. That's the out the Rebbe passes here in our Simon Tuf Mem Dalas Sif Yud. So the same time Sof Achil of Chametz all year long is Sof Achil of Egg Matzah on Erev Pesach, whether it be Shabbos or whether it be Chol. A, if egg matzah is used, can a person have the Suda as it is, as if it is Pesach, Pesach food, Kalim, etc. So the Pesach Tshuvas here in footnote 18 calls him Shlomo Zalman, who said you should not put matzah shira on the kelim of Pesach. It's also found in Hilchos Shlomo, Perek Dalas of Katan Chav Tes. He seems to say you shouldn't even, not only shouldn't you, should you cook it or heat it on a Pesach Tikka frying pan or something, you shouldn't even put it on a Pesach Tikka plate. Now, of course, this is a tzon and it's cold. Mika was in it. There's no issue, but the same as you wouldn't put a piece of bread on your Pesach Tikka dish, even if it's cold, so too our custom is to be machmer, as the Shlomo Zalman said, not to use the Pesach Tikka dishes in conjunction with egg matzah, even though it's not me'ikar adin, but that's the psak of Shlomo Zalman, and I believe it should be followed. B, until what time could egg matzah be eaten that day, we said, until Sof Zman Achila Chametz. C, can a person start their suda indoors at Pesach table with Kiddush, go outside for challah with intention to go back inside to eat the Suda indoors? On a simple level, the answer is no. No, you are not supposed to do that because you need Kiddush Makom Suda. If you look at Siman Reish Ayin Gimel Sif Aleph, some say it's a Yesh Omrim. Kol Shiro Makom V'Yivayis L'Chater Mahani. Some say. Mr. Brewer writes Sif Kotan Zayin only B'Shas HaTchak because many disagree. And I believe it should not be done. Rather, you should do D. Can a person make Kiddush and have a challah outdoors with intent to have the Suda indoors? The answer to the answer is yes. They have the Kiddush and the Suda, because once you have a kazayas of challah on the outside, you already are done. And you have the Kiddush Malkum Suda. And then you can go back and have the rest of the meal. Not go back. Now, have the rest of the meal in the house. Where you would bench is the whole shayla. Some require you to go back out, have more challah to bench later on. That's cause a crimp on the schedule for shalosh shudas. Most poskim would suggest that you can certainly go back out and bench even if you didn't have challah at the very end of the meal because you're right out of time. It's already after the zman. Challah is considered davar ton bracha achrei b'mkomo, to go back to where you had the challah. But at the same time, if you in a situation such as this, normally we say should stay in one place. But in a situation such as this, I believe D is much better than C because you have avoided the problem of kiddush b'mokom suda. Now, F. E says what's preferred? D is preferred. I believe that challah is the simplest way for those who have the nerves for challah. The truth is, F may be even better. So first has a challah indoors. Could it work if he makes kiddush at the Pesach table, has challah on the side, not on the same table, with the challah above a napkin, discards the crumbs afterwards and shakes out the napkin above the toilet? If yes, then can the napkin be discarded in the garbage can? Does he have to get it out somehow? That's what we do in our house. We have, we have the enough spiritual fortitude that we make kiddush, Pesach dika becha, put it away. We have challahs. Everyone has his own challah roll, his and her own challah roll, with the exact number of people who are going to be at our table, known in advance. We order that many challah rolls, and the challah rolls are put. Some years we use a plastic disposable, and everyone eats the challah, is distributed to every person over that disposable. And when they finish, if there may be a crumb here and there, we wrap it up and put it in the garbage. There may not be any crumbs. If you want to, you can shake it over the toilet first, or you use napkins if not a large tablecloth, whatever you think is appropriate given your circumstances. And then we serve the rest of the meal. The challah is all gone. We serve the rest of the meal on Pesach thicker dishes. And we assume, as Rabbi Yashiv did, others disagree, that we can continue the meal and fulfill the meal based on the hamotzi that we made. There's some machmirim who say, the Pesach Shuvos is machmir himself, that the hamotzi won't cover it. Hamotzi covers food which are considered part of the meal, because it's the challah is the main part of the meal, and even though you don't have it with the challah, it still relates to the challah. But in our case, we have intention not to have any more challah that meal, and especially the cold challah shudas, when the time ran out, you're not allowed to have any challah. There were those machmirim who say that you have a problem to make a shahakal on the meat and an adama on the potatoes. He suggests to avoid that problem to make an azom and a shahakal before you make a motzi. And this way you can cover yourself. I think the minhag is not that way. The quote Rabbi Yashiv is saying it's not necessary, that the challah will pater all the normal foods that are eaten in a typical meal very often after the challah is finished. Even though at this particular point in time you are excluded from having it, either because you put it away and you have paid for the conditions, or even the second case of Shalosh Shudas, when you are not allowed any challah anymore, it's still considered covered by the hamotzi. So that's what we do in our house, and I think that's very good. If it's challah and it's kiddush b'makom suda mamish, I just have to be careful to remove all the challah before you expose, if you will, the Pesach Dika dishes. Okay, G. My assumption is that people should be encouraged to have either Pesach, Kalim, or disposable for that Shabbos. If disposable are used and people want chametz, leftovers could be flushed. How are these utensils disposable if dealt with? So disposable one, you dispose them. That's why they call it disposable. Not disposable, I'm not sure what the question means. If it means chametz dishes, you have to wash them off. The whole tumult in Poskim about this, how do you wash them off? Goes back to ready to the Rishonim. You're washing things off on Shabbos to get rid of any chametz residue. It's not at all advised to use not disposable chametz, and not disposable Pesach is out of the question. You have chametz here. So either way, not a good idea to use not disposables. H. Is it an idea to have the table set for the Sdorim before Shabbos and try to have the Suda Shabbos in another room? Does that practicality detract from the reverence of Shabbos? It's mutter. Does it detract? It depends on what kind of house you have. There are some people have large houses. They can have a very respectable Shabbos meal in one table. And the main table, if you will, is in another room where it's all set for a king for the Seder and Motzei Shabbos. Then it's l'chatchila. My house, we don't have that luxury. We only have one dining room table, so we don't do it that way. Question 5. One publication says that one should not eat any chametz after Friday afternoon, be a chametz, except lecha mishnah. Is this a halacha or an eitz tova? So this, of course, depends on the mechiras chametz conundrum for years such as this. And there are different possibilities as to how it should be done. According to one opinion, the Mechiras Chametz takes effect after Sov Zman Achila on Shabbos. You do the act on Friday, and Og Minig is to do the act Friday morning, even though there's no Takonas Chazal of Mechira as there is with respect to beer, where the Shulchan Aruch says do it early on Friday. But Minig Yisrael is that since we have so commonly gotten used to Mechiras Chametz and Erev Pesach in the morning, so we should treat it as such and do it Erev Pesach in the morning as well before the Sof Zman beer, as we do every year. We should burn it, as we mentioned earlier, before the Sof Zman beer after the Mechira is completed. But there are those who say that you want to eat Chametz for another 23 hours. Okay. So we'll write in the document that it's not chal for another till Shabbos before the Sof Zman beer. You run afoul of two problems. One is Rabbi Kiv Eger, who says in Chelik Aleph Siman Kuf Nun Tes, not only should you not actively participate in the Mecha Chumemka on Shabbos, but it's not even right that it should take effect on Shabbos. Many disagree, many agree. It's just a whole discussion. But there's another issue, which I saw Rabbi Rav Zalman Achem Zecher Tzadik Livracha quoted from Yecheskel Lebransky, that there's a Kolsa Kinyano problem, which means that if you do it in that fashion, some of the methods of acquisition do not work. And the example he gave was Chalipin. Chalipin, one of the main kinyanos that we use, it only works if it's effective immediately. Otherwise, Hadra Sudra Lamari, it doesn't work. I add that Situmta, shaking hands, in my opinion, also doesn't work. It only works at that moment. And I'm not even sure if Kinyan Agav works. Kinyan Agav means you are binding, if you will, by saying Agav Kni, the chametz to the rented areas. I'm not sure if you can do that effective 24 hours hence. So two and maybe three kinyanim go out. Now, there are other kinyanim which are there. You have the kinyan of shtar, if that works, at least for the karka. Some say it works from a talisman to dina de machuso or situmta, but the shtar still exists. And kinyan kesef works, because the kesef is not kosa, because if the transaction would not work, the money would have to be go back. That's what the Gemara tells us, ksubis. And even chotzer could work, but again, the chotzer gets to the goy through, again, shtar, which exists, kesef, which exists, but it also gets to him typically with chalipin and situmta, which also wouldn't work. So even that is weakened somewhat. So that's why, for these reasons, both the combination of the kiveger and the lacking of certain kinyanim, I personally do not intend to do it in that fashion, although many rabbanim will, and they certainly have what to rely upon. The second way is to have it chal immediately, and even though the chametz now belongs to the goy, so you eat the chametz of the goy. That's what Moshe's quote of Rabbi Eider in his Hilchos Pesach. I saw Rabbi Usher Weiss was quoted as agreeing to that system. He adds that you should tell the guy in advance you're going to be using his chametz for the next 24 hours or so. I'm not that happy with that either, because there's an expression of chucha tlula. I'm selling it to the non-Jew unconditionally, and then I say, you know, but by the way, with your permission, I'm going to be eating it for the next 23-4 hours. Now, in emergency situations, we tell that to the non-Jew. In an emergency, we have to want to get medicine out of the medicine chest, and we sold it with the chametz. That's one thing. In most cases, it doesn't materialize. But in this case, where it's going to certainly materialize, I feel it's not that great of an option either. So what I prefer, I've been always doing, is that it takes effect immediately. It takes effect immediately. What takes effect immediately? Oh, that's the problem. Whatever will be left on 0 hour, on Shabbos. There are two problems. Number one, some say it's what's called you're selling a dovah she'ena mesuyam. You don't know exactly what's going to be left or what's not going to be left. Number two, that the Rambam says is no good. Others disagree with the Rambam. Number two, the problem of breira, retroactive clarification. And we paskin b'doraisa and breira. Some wanted to say, well, it's only b'drabanan because you did a bittel. That's a very weak argument, in my opinion, because it's true that the Bal Yaroh would be the Rabbanan because you did a bittel, But the Mechira is a Daraisa concept, and therefore you have a serious problem of Brera. There are two ways out. One is to follow the Nesivus in Siman Samach Aleph Sivkot and Gimel, who says that if I'm able to perform this particular act at a later date, I can even have it work retroactively from an earlier date. Is he right or is he wrong? If you look in the beautiful Milu'ei Mishpat by Rav Jumatrovsky on that Nesivus, Samach Aleph Sivkot and Gimel, he goes, many posts can hold like the Nesivus, and many posts can hold against the Nesivus. There are also those who maintain that there's no Brera problem, because it's Omei Lehizbarer. If you look on the Tosfos and Gittin Chof Hamid Beis, with a Marasho, with a Marashal, when did we say that Ein Brera, in the classical cases in the Gemara, in a situation in which it may never be Nesivus? For example, Shnei Lugan Shani Yosel LaHafrish, the famous Gemara. So there, I may never be Mafrish. But in the case in which it's certainly going to be this Barer, so what Shoach has called a Misosi, look at the Sugat Gittin. So there, if you look at the Get Poshet, he seems to say that the Maskana, you can do such a thing, doesn't depend upon Brera if it's for sure, so this Barer. So once again, another possible way to get around Brera, the Nesivus, or this toast with the Marshal. However, since there are those who disagree with both, I have this simple solution, which I think should be utilized. The best way to do it is to only own those challah rolls I mentioned earlier. No other chametz, all the other chametz is put away to be sold. The only thing that you're not selling are those few challah rolls that you need. The number of meals times the number of people that you order and make sure everyone finishes his challah roll. And you tell the Nachri in advance, Mr. Nachri, I'm selling you everything, but I'm making an exception. The exception is these X number of rolls that I set aside for my family to be utilized for three meals between now and then. This should work without any problem of borer. You already have a mevara right now when you're selling to the Nachri. The same as every single year. Every year, I tell the Nachri, you see this bag? It contains 10 crumbs. These 10 crumbs, I'm not selling to you. That's no problem. You take it out of the deal. So if I take out 10 crumbs, I can also take out 10 challahs. No problem. There are maybe individuals who want to hold on to more than those 10 challahs. They want to have their cake and eat it too. Maybe they won't finish the cake. They want to things of this nature. I would say that if they want to have more than the 10 challahs, they should make a box and call it the Shabbos box and put whatever chametz they want in that box. And they tell the Nachri, listen, I'm selling you everything except what's in this little bag of 10 crumbs and the little box, which has whatever I plan to use for the Shabbos meals, and you have to finish everything there. If you don't finish, you have to flush it down the toilet. That would be another option, and I'm working on putting such a text in the Shtar HaShoah for this year. If it's placed into the document of authorization, then it's by definition excluded. Someone called me a couple of days ago and told me that's what he does every year about the 10 crumbs. I haven't been doing that. I just make it as a side deal, which I tell the non-Jew orally when I show him the bag, but maybe it's better to be put in the, can't hurt to put it in the authorization document of Shtar HaShoah as well. So that seems to be the way to solve this problem. Question number 6. So that's why the publication said, except Lecha Mishnah, he probably meant what I said before. The Lecha Mishnah is circumscribed and it's all consumed or thrown out if necessary. Once you start with more beyond the Lecha Mishnah, then you get into rarer problems or Eina Masuyim problems. 6. Trying to organize a communal seder for my elderly shul in Florida. We have planned to eat outside in the parking lot. However, due to the heat and humidity, I would like to do the beginning of the seder to Magad and Hallel and Nirtza and the air-conditioned shul with people wearing masks. And just I will have matzah and a seder plate near me. How do I make sure it's a kiddush Malkam Suda, and what other halach concerns and issues are there with saying Magad and Hallel? There are no concerns except Kiddush Malkam Suda. So the only way to handle it is that you have to allow the first kazayas of matzah to be consumed in the air-conditioned shul. You have to take off their masks for 5 minutes just to finish your kazayas of matzah. Then you can go out and have the remaining part of the meal, including the mora and the korech and the shulchan aruch and the tefillin and outside, and then you can go back. You can go back as soon as that's over. You can go back, not just for nirtza. Yeah, as you say, you can have halal. You can even go back for baruch, because if you're having the first kazayas in the air conditioned shul, you can make your bench there as well. 7. One of them is spalim as a son-in-law is sardi and eats kidneys. Can I review the halachas of kidneys and how it impacts non-kidneys people sharing the same kitchen, pots, dishes, and meals? Okay. If you look in kidneys and simon, tof nun gimel. That's where the chumrah of kidneys is found. So the poskim say you should not cook pesach stuff if you're Ashkenazi in a kidneys pot. Rav Yoshev is quoted there in Kovas Shuvas Chelik Dalet Simon Chav Zayin, quoted by the Piskei Shuvas footnote 36. But the Yevet will be kosher. But the Yevet, because it's Batal Barov, he writes there in footnote 37, based on another Tshuva by Rav Yoshev. Even an Eina Ben Yomo, which is more lenient, still, Rav Yoshev says it shouldn't be used. But the Yevet, of course, it would be okay. Well, maybe. But the Yevet, he allows you to eat the food cooked in an Eina Ben Yomo pot, not to embarrass cause any misunderstanding, because of Pigia with the balabos. Although when it comes to these things, there's no pigia. Everyone knows that Sfarim have one custom and Ashkenazim have another custom. So the bottom line is, if you're a non-kidneys person, you should try not to share the same pots and dishes. You can share meals, not chametz. So I'm sitting on one side of the table, and next to me is a Sfardi, and he's having rice, and I'm not eating rice. I don't see a problem whatsoever. Same with the kitchen. Now, unless you have two kitchens, you have to have one side of the kitchen. You put the rice, the other side put the chicken, and just make sure they don't get intermingled with one another. 8. If one is going to their in-laws for Pesach and they don't keep the chumrah of gebrucht, I assume what it means is that the in-laws don't keep gebrucht and the person did keep gebrucht before he was married, maybe matan edim. If he has the same halacha applied to kidneys as well. So it seems to me that this issue of gebrucht, you have to understand what gebrucht is. It's not a din, it's a chumrah. Now, I'm not belittling it, because in some places they're very, very, take it very, very seriously, but it's important to know what the din is. We know we have dinim and we have chumras. Here it's quoted in the Mishnah Brura, in Simon Tuf Nun Ches, quotes as chumrah. He calls it chumrah of anshe maisa, who wouldn't soak the matzah in water. Your frail little flour is left in the matzah, and you put it in water, it's going to become chametz. And he quotes the Shari Tshuva Mitzad Adin. There's no reason to be choshish, especially we have thin matzahs these days. But he says, someone who has a chumrah, emas nichen also. Some chumras are so bad that we say, you're not allowed to keep this chumrah. This chumrah you're allowed to keep. And if you have that family minute, you would typically keep it. The question is, what happens in this particular case? So, the Piskei Tshuva says that someone who changed, in footnote 36 over here, Tafnan Ches, that someone who changes the minig of his forefathers requires Hataras Nedarim. I think that depends. It seems to me, if the person began keeping his father's custom, then of course he requires Hataras Nedarim. But if he's just keeping his father's custom within his father's house, and he has no alternative but to keep that custom, and when he gets married, he decides to no longer keep that custom, the pashtus, there's no need for Hataras Nedarim. And as you look in Halicha Shlomo Zalman, Perek Dalet, Sif Yutes, he says that a person shouldn't change a minig unless it's a tzorech, and he writes there in the Sivkot Lamed, that's only a minig either B'nei Iro, which is 100% true. Minik HaMokam is Koveya. Mokam Shano was the name of the Perek. But then he throws in a phrase I don't fully grasp. Or Minik Kol Beis Aviv. I'm not sure what Kol Beis Aviv means. What does it mean? His father and his grandfather and his great-grandfather. I don't know why that makes a difference. On a simple level, if the person was never happy with this minik, but of course he kept it while he was in his father's house, now he got married and wants to not keep it anymore, whether it should be encouraged or discouraged, but I do not believe that Me'ikir Adin HaTorah Sadarim is required. But of course, if he wants to HaTorah Sadarim, no problem. If he began the custom on his own after he got married, then of course he has to do HaTorah Sadarim. Again, whether it's appropriate or not may depend on the particular circumstances. So just a review in this case, if you're going to his in-laws for Pesach, you can be Mata Neder. Must you be Mata Neder? Depends on the parameters we spoke about earlier. Would apply to kidneys? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Kidneys, as opposed to Gebruch, is a pan-Ashkenazi custom. Goes back longer and broader and wider and stronger. Ashkenazi do not eat kidneys at all, and therefore no Ataras Adarim can be done with respect to kidneys. If someone is sick, so there's a different hetzer, you don't need to cover out Ataras Adarim. We spoke about it in many of the COVID situations when you had to be makel already last year paid for certain things. If you plan to go back to your chumrah when it comes to the following Pesach, and this year, thank God, we're more open than last year, then the double miravava right in your day ratio, you don't even need Ataras Adarim. But again, that's if someone is sick. The post can make up for kidneys for someone who is sick. But if you're healthy and you're Ashkenazi, you should not be eating kidneys at all. And Ataras Adarim should not be done. It doesn't help. 9. May one kasher a warming drawer, although it does not reach the shear of Levun Kal, can we still say Kibbola Kachpoto? Would the same apply if the walls are porcelain coated, being that the food itself does not touch the walls? This is a very complex question. My personal view is that Kibbola Kachpoto works for Levun and even has the status of Levun Chomer, even if it's not Nitzos of Nitzim. It's against the Prima Garden. It's based upon a Chuvas Maimini. It's a machlok, it's a poskim we talk about. I thought there's room to be makel, not everyone agrees. If it's porcelain, it's much more serious. Porcelain is treated as cheres, and cheres, we generally speaking, assume cannot be kashered. Even if you're using a warming drawer which is not porcelain, I would still say the proper thing should be to cover all the food you plan to warm on Pesach, just to play it safe. And if you're covering it, in theory it should work even with this, if it's porcelain, because you can't live without your warming drawer. People have somehow lived since Matan Torah for a few thousand years without warming drawers. I think you can probably manage for a few days, but if you can't, even if it's porcelain, there's room to be makel if it's completely covered. You probably should put a lining on the bottom and a covering on the top. And then, especially if it's dry, which is usually the case in warming drawers, there's room to be makel, even if technically speaking, the warming drawer is not completely kosher to Pesach. But again, it's better to avoid porcelain. Even if it's not porcelain, it's not so simple that the koshering works. So if you're gonna use it, better to cover it. 10. May dishwashers be kosher for Pesach even though the water never reaches 212 degrees? That's an excellent question. In the beginning of Siman Tufnun Beis, it says you have to have Mayim Roschen. And the question is why? Why did Mayim Roschen? So the simple answer is, you look in the Piskei Tshuvos and Tufnun Aleph, footnote 177, that they were gozer that maybe at one point in time it reached Roschen. And therefore, you have to kash it with Roskim, the most common digger, Tashmish Shabbat. And therefore, he has a cooler there in factories where it's set at a certain temperature. You know, it's computerized. Never gets above X degrees, but you can kash it with that X because you have Kibbola Kachpoto. My opinion is that is, in fact, correct. Not everybody agrees. I would say that in such a circumstance, the full cycle must be run, because one can argue that the reason why you need Mayim Roschen, even if the tarfus, or in this case the chametz, came in at a lower temperature, is not purely a gzera that maybe you use it at a higher temperature. But maybe you want to make sure that the water is in contact with the chametz sticker pot, for example, for a long enough time that if the water is roschim, that the, at least the pot will reach the level of Yatzal Eretzbo, in which case it should be kept there for a period of time. In case of a dishwasher, so again, Kabbalah Kachpoto, put it through a full cycle, and it works. It's there for the same amount of time. Now, this only works for a metal dishwasher. Our minig is not the kasher plastic, as Rav Moshe is paskin. So I would not approve kashering a plastic dishwasher. B'shas Hatzchak, it can be makel. Many poskim say plastic can be kashered even for Pesach against Rav Moshe's chumra. There's a problem with the racks. The racks are usually rubber. Rav Moshe indicates if the racks are smooth, they can be kashered. If they're not smooth, they cannot be kashered. So that's another detail. In some cases, you may have to get new racks. Again, this is the kasher of a dishwasher. Now, again, a dishwasher cannot be used for most of Pesach because it's either Shabbos, it's either Yontif and or Shabbos. This year, 4 days. Some years, even 5 days. But those who want to do it, I can't stop them. But if it's complications, you do the traditional washing by hand or use disposables, as the case may be. Question number 11, similar question. A water urn that was used for traditional soup, which is chametz, be kashed for Pesach. The water in the urn does not reach 212, rather only 170 degrees. Once again, I believe the Kabbalah Kachpoto can be utilized because you know it never gets above 170. So you put in the water to the highest, you know, make it reach 170 and leave it there for a while, so that again Kabbalah Kachpoto in the full sense that you should leave it there for a period of time, so that as hot as it ever got with the traditional soup, I don't know how long it takes to cook traditional soup. For at least that period of time, the hot water of 170 should be in the urn to make sure that the whatever chametz there comes out. 12, can a blech be kashered for Pesach, and if yes, how? This already is a question. The poskim say that a blech is like a chatsuva. That's what the Sefer Golas Kalim says in Perek Yud Gimel Sif Shin Ayin, and based on Sifkot and Peivav much earlier, goes in alphabetical order. This is called a pach. Another one's called a chatsuva. So he gives you two reasons there why we, the Mishnah Brewer, in Simon Tuf Nun Aleph, when the Ramah quotes the Chumrah of Chatzuva Tzricha Libun, that is a din. The Ramah doesn't tell you it's only a Chumrah. You know, the Ramah often just says things to Halacha, and leaves it to the Mishnah Brewer, Sifkat Lamed Aleph, to tell you that it's only the Chatzchilikos Chumrah, the Chometz. Why? For two reasons. Reason one, Shteik Teres Anogazu Bezu, and Yosef Abliya Mizulazu below Rotef, your dad Tadi Bezayim. Number two, even if it spills, for Nistra for Holachlo, it was it disappeared. Kemesh Bechoshohi Alo Eish. Now, I assume that these are two separate pieces of logic. You may need both of them. Perhaps he assumes that if it spills and it's not Nishmech immediately, that's considered to be Rotef, and you cannot apply the principle of steak, there is no goes buzu, because that's only without rotef. In any event, the Sefer HaGolas Kalim makes this equation, and is the equation valid or not valid? It depends to some extent on which of the reasons you are relying upon. If it is the kula of Shnei Kalim, you're okay. But if you're counting on the fact that it all gets Nistraf immediately, that may only apply by a Chatsuva. A Chatsuva is more of a spindly grate that we typically have on our ovens. A Blech, on the other hand, is flat and can accommodate, if you will, a spill that might stay there longer. So that would be a potential problem. But nonetheless, it's only a potential problem, and the possibility of kashering it. How do you kasher it? So these farms say libun kal. It's only a chumra, so it's enough to have a libun kal. Mr. Brewer writes over here in Sifkotan. Let's see, Sifkotan lamid. Let's see if I can find it. Lamid dalid. He says it's only a chumra. It's enough to have a libun kal. And would a Lieben Kal work on the Blech as it works for Chatzuva? Might depend a little bit on the two reasons which we mentioned before. But there's room to be Mekel. And what's a Lieben Kal? I guess you just heat up the Blech to a higher temperature than is usually used. You know, if you put on a high fire. Most people, Blech, do not have a very high fire going the whole Shabbos. If you put on a high fire for a period of time, it will reach a certain level of heat, which is higher than it ever got. So that's certainly a Lieben Kal. It might even be a Lieben Chum of Kabbalah Kachpoto. Of course, it has to be cleaned. If it's too hard to clean it, I recommend you put a tinfoil over the blech. This way, a heavy-duty tinfoil on top of the blech, that should solve the problem completely. Question 13. When going to a hotel for Pesach, may they perform the bedikah with a bracha, or do we say that the room is already cleaned and is considered the Cheskas Bodek? You've heard from me that I'm not a hotel fan on Pesach. Never been in a hotel on Pesach. I would sure hope that the amount of money that's being paid, that's Becheskes Baduk. I've heard people say that it's not always the case, but assuming it's Becheskes Baduk, then you cannot make a bracha because it'll be a bracha levatala. It's already Becheskes Baduk. On the other hand, if a person wants to dafka, they can be put chametz in. A person comes a day or two earlier, or even a few hours earlier, and he has some children, and gives them chametz, oh, you better believe you have to do a bedikah on that hotel room. Then you can actually make a bracha, because it could be chametz anywhere. I don't want to spend too much time on this topic, because I think people should stay home. 14. How machmir should I be to purchase hand or machine matzah that was baked within 30 days of Chag HaPesach? Not at all. It's true, there is a tosefta and a Yerushalmi, if it's 30 days, it's a problem. It's called Matzah Yeshana. But the reason given is because Ein Adam Medaknik. That wasn't the old years. But today, when they produce matzahs baked before Purim, then the people are very, very Medaknik. Very Medaknik. And therefore, we have a right to be Mekel. I saw this quoted in the Oros HaRuah, Simon Reish Nun, the beautiful sefer called Matzos Mitzvah, quotes on page Reish Ayin Vav. There was nothing wrong. As a matter of fact, all these Chabura Matzos, all the Machmirim, almost all of them are baked before Purim, many of them. So that's no problem whatsoever. And therefore, you buy some regular Matzos, which I have in my house. They came on Sunday. I can't guarantee they were baked on Sunday. If they were, then it's within 30 days. If not, not. It's okay. 15. A factory that's building has 6 separate businesses. Each business owner places a mezuzah on their door, but the front and back entrance to the building. Well, who is obligated to put up the mezuzahs? The landlord, or must of course be split among the 6 renters. Mezuzah chovas adar. The landlord is potter, and the renters have to put it up. Again, if it's safe to put it there, they should do it. 16. What are the parameters of most chitin? Who must give? How much should they give? And how should it be distributed? This is the very opening siman in the Chos Pesach. Mr. Brewer talks about it in the siman Tov Chof Tes, where this din is found. It's a very appropriate way to start the Chos Pesach. Minig liknos chitin v'chalkan laniyam b'tzor Pesach komisha dor b'ir shneim asacholish solidun lezeh. So it's classically the most kit that were given to the people in the city by the people of the city. How you become a member of the city, either there 12 months, and Mr. Brewer writes, if you come in to live there permanently even before 12 months, you're considered already a resident and have to pay into the most kit campaign to feed the poor people of that city. And how you want to know How much must you give? Enough to feed all the poor people. That's it. Now, how much you must give as a particular person? So the Mishnah Berurah writes, this is the obligation is chayavon litelo lefi mamono. Lefi mamono, so it's got involved. Lefi mamono. So if you have a lot of money, you have to give more. If you have less money, you have to give less. Of course, today, in the old days, the gabbayim would assess you and they would collect it for you whether you like it or not. Today's world doesn't exist, so people should recognize their obligation. I must tell you that nowadays, most chitim became an international industry, not limited to the people who live in your city, especially in Eretz Yisrael, where there's such great need. I mean, there's plenty of need here in this country too, but such great need in Eretz Yisrael. It's a big mitzvah to give sizable sums for most chitim. So when you sit down at your table, and they call dich v'yeisiv yeichon, and your door's locked, no one's going to come in, you already have, thank God, made many dichfins and districts happy by your sizable contribution to most chitim. You give it most rabbanim, collect most chitim and distribute it. I know I distributed a lot of money from a ton of savyonim, and hopefully we'll have a lot more from most chitim. This is the Rav's responsibility. It can't be a pipeline for members of the shul who really want to give money. They just don't know where to give it. You find appropriate recipients. They're very readily found in Eretz Yisrael through various intermediaries. Anyone wants to know, someone can call me up. I'll give you a couple of choice names. This is how most chitim is fulfilled. Final question, number 17. A baby's bris milah has been postponed as per the pediatric urologist. There may be a pending procedure needed to be performed. Once the urologist says it is safe to perform a bris, must the bris be performed immediately? Or can the parents wait a few days till the following Sunday so that A, grandparents who will be getting the second vaccine feel comfortable to attend, B, other family members from out of town can attend, C, by waiting a few more days, they'll be able to have it in their shul and social hall, not confined to their home. These fact patterns are very questionable to you, whether they really exist. Generally speaking, when the time comes for a bris milah shelo bizmana, it should be done immediately. There are those who say it even has priority in a given day of a milah bizmana. There's a whole famous Tzvara of Rome about this. We're not going to go into that right now. But to postpone it, it really should not be postponed. The only possible heter, you say a few days, if the few days are just maybe two or three days, which means the time for the bris is not until Thursday, so you want to postpone from Thursday or Friday to Sunday, there are grounds to do so. Because if you look in Hilchos Milah, there are some that have a shach, it's a complicated diun, but they will not perform a milah shelo bizmana on Thursday or Friday. If I'm not mistaken, the German minhag of the rabbis Katzenstein, Zal and Sheyichyu, is not to do a shelo bizmana bris on Thursday or Friday. So even though, generally speaking, we may not want to accept that, I mean, we would do it Thursday and Friday, somebody who wants to rely on that shita to facilitate a Sunday bris for various reasons or others is what to rely upon. Thank you very much. This will be one more shiur before Pesach.
Rabbi, we thank you again, as always, and Bezrat Hashem will be together with you again in another 2 weeks. Thank you.
Okay. Call
Take them. Care.
Bye-bye.